You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey continue with Focus on the Family, Family Values.
All right. This is part of the Bailey clan here tonight. I'm Herbert Bailey, and this is my lovely wife, Marcia Bailey. And to my immediate left, the attorneys of our family. We got it. Me and Tiana came with a new nickname. We call them the Esquires. You know, these are Esquires. Tyler Bailey and my daughter-in-law, Elise Bailey. Let's welcome them tonight. And, of course, over to my far left is our youth pastor here, Pastor Chandler Bailey, and my lovely daughter, Law Audrea Jacita Lalisa Bailey. Try to say all that in one day. Audrea Jacita Lalisa Bailey. Lalisa. Yes, it is.
Jacita
Lalisa. Oh, see, Lord Jesus. Audrea Jacita Lalisa Bailey. All right. That's Mrs. Chandler. All right. We've been talking about. We're missing Daniel and Brianna Bailey. He's doing a basketball camp in Mississippi, and his wife is in Charlotte where they live, and she's working there. And, of course, our daughter, Kendra, is in New York where she just secured a full-time, permanent benefits job.
Yeah, hey!
Take off.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's not Sunday morning. It's not Sunday morning.
Thank God.
Praise the Lord. Won't he do it?
Won't he do it?
Won't he will? Yeah. Yes, he will. All right. So we've been talking about family values all month. And I want to talk a little bit. Then I really want my family members to talk. But one of the things I just want to emphasize tonight is that if you're going to perpetuate the values that you want in your family, you have to be consistent with it, and you have to live it out. You can't just say this is a value, but not really walk that out. And it's because our lives are basically the culmination of decisions. Where we are right now, for better or for worse, is a culmination of our decisions. The first time I heard a preacher say that, I was mad because I had been raised with a victim mentality. That blame other people for where you are, what has and has. And the first time I heard someone say that, that was just too much for me to accept, that where I am in life is because of my own decisions. But the longer you live, the more that is true. You have what you have because of your decisions. You are where you are because of your decisions. I don't care where you started, where you end up is a result of your decisions. You may have been born poor. How many of us know you don't have to die poor? And really, it's just because you were born poor, dying poor and staying poor, that's about the decision that you make in your life. And so in life, we constantly have to make decisions. Do I take this job? Do I date this person? Do I marry this person? Where do I live? Do I pursue this career choice? Should I move to a city? So once you know your values, decision-making becomes easy. And so based upon these values, we decide what you do or what you don't do. And I quickly want to present you three decision case studies, okay? Here's case study number one. You're offered a job promotion that shifts your work week from 40 hours to 60 or 70 hours a week. It doubles your salary, but now includes weekends, and you can never come to church. Should you take it or not? Well, it really depends on your values. That's how you decide that. Some people, that's a dilemma. Some people say, I got to pray about it. Once you know your values and what's most important to you, you see where things line up. So what values will cause you to accept this job? Just shout it out. Just shout it out. Money. If you value money over everything else, that'll cause you to take the job. What else?
Sleep.
Huh?
Sleep.
Not to take the job, but to take it.
Sleep.
Sleep.
I work so much, you might not get as much rest. So sleep.
Okay. Okay, well, I say, what value would it cause you to take the job?
Oh.
is in your career path, all right? What, give me one more. Huh?
Security.
This is going to give you financial security. Okay, and a lot of, well, at least two of those things basically came down to money again. All right? On the other hand, what would cause you to reject that opportunity? Family. Someone that said faith. Huh?
Quality of life.
Okay? Address that, Elise. Because you brought that up. You brought quality of life up. You have a real good job, right? You make a real good job, make good money. So talk about this quality of life.
Everything isn't about money. You have to balance what's important to you. So if a job is going to afford you a lot of money, but it's going to take away from you doing other things that you enjoy, like being able to get off at a certain time, to be able to pick up your children from school, or being able to have time on the weekends to go to dance recitals or baseball games or things like that with your children, you've got to balance whether or not certain jobs are going to afford you the quality of life outside of just the financial aspect of it.
And so that's somebody who values that kind of quality of life. And you know, again, so what I'm really trying to say is that I've in the past I always said it this way. I said that once you know your priorities, decision-making becomes easy. To even make it simpler, once you know your values, decision-making becomes easy. Here's case study number two. You have the opportunity to move to a new city, to take a job that you've always wanted with the salary you desire, but there are no Word Bible teaching churches within 2 hours of that city. To take this job, you'll leave the church that you said God planted you in and leave the man and woman of God who you said the Lord's put you under and that you said the Lord connected you to sit under. Okay? What caused you to take that job? Money. Back to money. What else?
Opportunity.
A good opportunity. I mean, it's really a good opportunity. All right? What else? Huh? Ministry calls you to take it? No. If you call the pastor. Okay.
Start a church.
Now we're just going to start a church. You ain't called to start a church, but if it ain't no church there, now we're just going to start a church. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you what Brother Kim Hagin used to say about that. He said, everybody can call the pastor, but if you start a church, God probably ain't going to hold it against you. All right? But whether it's going to prosper or not, all has to do with whether God called you to do that. Okay, what would cause you not to take that? The blessings of the Lord are geographic. So you may realize that that's not where the Lord told you you're going to be blessed. All right? Anybody else? What did they say? Look, the location. All right, I'm talking about values there. What values will cause you to not take this job? Well, your family probably going to go with you, right? Well, probably extended family. Okay, you may be gone away from okay?
Spouse might not want you to leave.
Your spouse, you're probably going to take your spouse with you, right?
She might kick and scream and not want to go.
Huh?
She might not want to go.
Your spouse, okay, so again, it may cause contention in your marriage. Case study number three. Okay, by the way, all these are case studies that I've seen people have to grapple with over the last 20 years. Okay, and I don't make these decisions for them. But they're really all value-based choices and decisions you have to make. You start dating someone. So you start dating, going with, and then finally get proposed to a guy, watch this, who's as fine as Pastor Bailey. Has a PhD, never been married, no children, makes enough money that he tells you, you don't ever have to work again if you don't want to. The only concern is, okay, somebody says, say no more. Don't have to tell me no more, I'm out. Okay, the only concern is, he says, you can go to church if you want to. But I don't believe in this church thing. And he always says that he won't be giving his hard-earned money to no preacher. But the church and religion is good for those who need it. But he doesn't. Okay? So, the values that cause you to take this proposal are what?
Security.
Security. You got security. And so if security is your number one value as a woman, then you out. Deuces, Pastor. Right? Okay. What else might cause you to take this?
Leisure.
You value leisure. I don't have to work. And while he's working, I can be at the spa, at the hair salon, and at the manicure, and getting my manicure and pedicure, right? Right, Pastor Marcia? You with me here?
Yeah.
All right. She thinking about the leisure. She said, you about to leave me? All right. What will cause you not to take it? Spiritual incompatibility. All right. So that's a value to that. You need to be spiritually compatible. What else might cause you not to accept this proposal? Somebody say, I can't think of one. Being crazy. Being a fool. That's the only reason why she wouldn't take. Yeah. What was that? Wanting to have your own independence. Okay. So a woman may say, hey, I don't ever want to be dependent on a man like that. I want my own independence. I need to be making my own, going for my own. And you value that. Okay. Again, all these kind of scenarios come down to values. A lot of times I realize, and so sometimes I'm thinking that people would choose one way, but really comes down to the choices you make are based upon your values. Let me say this here before I start our family discussion here tonight, that a godly Christian marriage and family is about perpetuating and passing on values. And so many times in when it comes to getting married, we tend to think, you know, they cute, they fine, security, whatever, and we just think about ourselves. But when God, the whole institution of marriage that God ordained, it was never just supposed to be just about you. All right, let's talk to these young people here and these young couples. Let's start off with Chandler and Tyler here. What values would you say that you learned from us?
Chandler?
I was going to say Tyler.
What value were you raised with?
I believe a value that we were all raised with in our house was going to church. So by the time we were driving, we knew we were supposed to be at church on Sunday. We went out on Saturday night. Well, we still should have been at church. We're going to be at church on Sunday. So that's one value. Learn tithing is another one. Education, we were taught that from a young age. We were always fussed at if our grades weren't good enough. So we always knew. I mean, I think we always were forced to do better. Whatever we were getting, we could still do better than that. Just a few.
All right. Chandler?
I mean, so many, but one that stands out to me in this moment, I would say, is faith. And that being the foundational and applying it to every area, marriage, your money, your movement, your business. And so faith was really one that sort of drove home for me. And, you know, some things are taught, some things are caught. And a lot of things I thought I caught was really prayer being one, too. So faith more for you because you modeled it. But then also seeing mom really be a prayer warrior. So when I can imagine some things.
I don't pray.
You still pray, but I would catch mom praying more.
I got you.
So she would get caught so much in prayer. Like, in, maybe, I don't know, but anyway. But she would get caught. And so I realized when some things get tough for my wife and I, you know, in our process, we really know how to, at least I really know how to create a foundational prayer in our home. It's nothing but a thing for us to pull out oil, to go back to those faith principles and see where we ventured off at and get things right.
All right.
Yeah.
My daughter's here. Y'all looking from the outside in to our family. What values have y'all seen?
I guess From my perspective, the biggest difference that I've been able to see looking at y'all's family is just, I guess, the importance of family. I came from a completely different family dynamic. I have a very large extended family. My immediate family may not be as close. So it's really cool being able to see how you guys really, you know, their family group chat. I mean, that thing buzzes all day long. Everybody wants to know how everybody's doing, what you had for lunch, did you work out today, you know, how's your job interview go? And everyone's just really supportive. And you know, it's just a network of prayer and, you know, just really being in tune with, you know, everything that's going on in the family. So just, I guess, putting family first.
All right. RJ, you want to add anything to that?
Yes. I would agree with what Chandler said, with just prayer and also the importance of church. My family went to church, but it was more of like the traditional Amy Zion type. We only go on Sundays. It wasn't as big as going to like Wednesday night services and stuff like that. So, you know, just the value of your faith and just prayer.
All right. So, y'all have now got your own families, either as a couple and now also with children. What values do y'all espouse and that you are also perpetuating in your marriage and for your children?
I mean, that scripture, I'm not going to preach, right?
Which one?
About raising godly seed. Because
Malachi 2:15-16.
Yes, because if they could put that back up, that'd be so powerful. Only because I literally have seen that unfold in Righteous and Alina, and a lot of it is not from our work. It's because of the product of the type of family they came out of. But now I'm living it out, and like even hearing what Elise just said about our family and the family chat, and I thought about it. We're not really talking about what you cooking and come over and eat. We're not like that. But a lot of it's destiny talk and purpose talk. Mm. I mean, a lot of stuff is going on in family chat. It's like really powerful conversations that are really not average. We're talking about government policy issues and moves we're making, and it's not the normal family. I don't know, but I think it's faith-based. But with our kids, I mean, Righteous, I was just playing around as a dad, just being in my flesh as a father, playing around with something. Righteous looked at me and said, "Stop putting fear in my heart." Now, and when he said that to me, I was like, I'm just jesting. I'm just joking. But for his reality as a 5-year-old, as a 6-year-old, he's like, no, you're playing with me, but that's fear for me. And so for him to understand the concept of faith and fear, that's not just from our work. That's from the type of family he came up in, you know?
And did not he make one, yet had the residue of the Spirit. Put it up in New Living Translation. It's really simpler. Didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? In body and spirit, you were his. And what does he want? Godly children from your union. So guard your heart, remain loyal to the wife of your youth. Yeah. You know, we really see this thing really lived out again with our children, especially my grandson. He's just, because he's just more vocal. He's just, wonder where he got that from. He's very articulate, and he's very vocal. But I told you one time we were riding in the car. And I can't remember. He said something. It sounded a little far. You know, he said far. It was a little far-fetched if you just think it naturally. And I started chuckling. He said, "Well, Papa, you know, God can do it, you know." Like he was rebuking me for laughing at his dream. You know, God can do it, you know. Like, don't limit God. And I really do see the whole principles of faith being passed on to our children. Okay. Now, but even in your marriage as still a newlywed couple of 2 years?
A little over 2 years now.
All right.
I think Elise and I, we've really been focusing on just being the best spouse for each other as we can. And I think, I mean, just a couple months ago, she told me her love language changed. And I knew her.
She got that from my mother-in-law.
Right. Just when I thought I knew her, I was like, wow, your love language changed. We've only been married for a little over 2 years. But it's just in saying that, just really getting to know her as my wife, I mean, she changes constantly. We both are changing because we're in a unique time in our lives because, one, we met each other in school. Now we're both working full-time. I have my own business. She's working just as hard as I am. So we're really just learning more about each other and growing closer together as time goes.
So what values are you Have you a spouse for your
marriage?
I will
actually answer the call of the question.
Okay. So. Is that a shot?
No, it's not a shot. I think as a newlywed, the most important thing that I've learned is to really focus on God more than my husband. Because what I've noticed, even in looking at him, is that as long as Tyler loves God more than he loves me, I'll be okay. And so I'm kind of patterning the same thing, that as long as we're both focused on growing more in Christ, we'll figure all the other stuff out. That I don't like to cook, you don't like to clean, and I like it hot, and you like it cold. But as long as we're both focused on God, we'll eventually end up back where we need to end up.
That's right.
Awesome.
That's real right. All right.
You want to answer? Okay. In terms of how, in terms of your work, in terms of whether that's in the home, out of the home, what values are you really conscious of embracing, or have you had value conflicts that you realize, okay, that's what this is, and now we need to, that's what this is. We got to talk about that and reconcile that.
Why are you trying to push me? Okay. I think the conflict that we had the most would be family time, especially my side. Because, like, I came from a side where you kind of, like, I'm from the country. Anybody from the country? Countryside.
Please raise your hand real quick. Yeah. From the country. If you're from the country, don't be ashamed about it. Raise your hand. Okay.
But anyway, you know, country, we're, like, really big on family events and stuff like that. So it's been some conflicts with that as far as me feeling the need to be at every family event. But I had to, he basically reminded me, okay, I have my own family now. So having to start our own traditions and stuff like that. So,
yeah, but iron sharpens iron, because also I stand corrected, because realizing that you're a product of a multi-generational family and the sacrifices that my parents made to separate because of the calling of God on their life, we're now the first wave to feel the produce of that. And so I look at Atlanta and Righteous, and we just got finished celebrating Righteous graduating from kindergarten. And your dad was on one side, and my dad was on the other side. And Righteous had two grandfathers in his life, and he was standing in the middle taking the picture. And I said, for Righteous, family is going to be important for Elena and Righteous, very important like it was with you. And so to be honest with you, God started renewing my mind and my own kids, honey, to be honest with you, on the importance of family. Because it's not that I deliberately didn't understand it. All I understood was right. The sacrifices that's made to follow the call of God in your life. So I really believe you balanced me out, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And that's something even Chandler and I, we talked about, because initially in the early, you've been married how long now?
Going on 9 years.
Going on nine years. Yeah. And in those early days of his marriage, he would talk to me about, all our family coming over the house. We got to go over there and stay over there all day. And I was trying to help him with those things as well, because I was saying, Chandler, that's what families do. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that we were so far away from our family that you didn't see that. And because you didn't see that, he became our family. They really got into the nuclear family, the mom, the dad, and the siblings. But the extended family, that was something new. And it's not that we didn't care for it, we weren't around it. So it never became a challenge for us. It didn't become something that we had to balance, except when we went back to New Jersey. Because when we would go back to Mother Bailey, she would hear we were coming, and before I left the airport, she asked me, well, have you landed yet? When you're coming over? Like my side of the family was the only family we had there. That Marcia's has a family over there too, and maybe we're going to go see her mother first, you know. And so we had to balance those things. And so a lot of times, so the some of the conflict or the strain, it wasn't that it was unimportant. It was that it was something you weren't used to.
Right.
You hadn't seen.
He never learned it.
He didn't learn it.
And sometimes, you know, with our children, parents, our kids get to learn how to navigate in life by watching us do it. And they never had to do it. They never had to watch us navigate it, because there was nothing to navigate around. So when it shows up in his life, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It was just that he didn't, it wasn't his paradigm.
Order this powerful series today. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Focus on the Family, Family Values.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.